What the fuck are you drinking?
I blended up a whole lime and an apple in some cold water and put in some saccharin in there.
God, patience, what the fuck? That sounds horrifying.
It's low cal and it's tangy.
Hey, this is zero cal.
Yeah, the only sugar in this is fructose.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, yours is better as far as calories go, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially when I spill half the goddamn thing.
You've been working out. Good on you.
Yeah, it sucks.
And just in time for Pride, too, hey?
It's the end of Pride.
End of Pride, right?
Yeah. I did Pride at the beginning of the month and I marched in the parade. I did work the booth this year for a couple hours.
Yeah. I saw the story there.
Oh, yeah. There's just so many fucking people. You know, I don't really like doing it. I do it because I feel it's important.
Yeah.
But it's not fun for me. It's fun for my wife and for my children. And it's good to get out there. But these fucking people, they're so loud.
Yeah.
And it's like 83 degrees and the sun is beating down on my poor stupid bald head, marching along with all these yelling people. And I fucking signed up for this shit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've read that article that I posted about the Dragon Dads and the reaction of the people.
Yeah, I think I read most of it.
Yeah, I wasn't one of the people hugging anybody because no thank you. Unless you either share my DNA
right.
Or like close friends. But
yeah.
It has to be more than just a stranger and more than just like a casual acquaintance. It has to be somebody who I feel connected to,
yeah.
Which for me and most of the human race, I don't feel connected to them. And also, I love and appreciate the queer community. But man, there's a lot of fucking weirdos out there. That's not to say that out of any group of humans, it's not just a bunch of weird fuckers.
Yeah.
The gamut of different ways of expressing yourself in the queer community is so much wider from growing up Mormon, but also from being a white middle-class cis male. You know, I'm used to this narrow thing. And you go to a queer event and it's so much wider. And it's great to see that as long as I'm not interacting with it. As soon as I start interacting, it just starts, you know, irritating me.
Fair enough.
Last weekend, my wife left me for 5 days.
Oh,
it sucked. I hate it. I do not like being apart from my wife. She went to this educational technology conference in Denver, Colorado.
Learning the latest in education and technology.
The school district that she's working for, they are partnering with an educational AI program.
Oh, wow.
Instead of going, ooh, here's the boogeyman, you know, actually learning about how to use AI ethically and incorporating that. And so she met with a bunch of different companies for that.
That's cool.
When my wife is gone, the Joneses get to eat seafood because my wife doesn't like seafood. And I know you aren't big on the meat eating thing, and that's fine. I respect that.
That's all right. I appreciate you.
So I wanted to go get some sashimi grade fish to make poke bowls.
Right. Yep.
And so it's Utah. It's a desert. There's not a lot of places, but there's a new Korean mart that opened up 25 miles north of me. It's called H Mart.
H-Mart.
Yeah, it's like a giant full-size grocery store.
I think we might actually have a H-Mart.
It's international. It started out as Korean. But I went there. First of all, it was on a Sunday. So, like, the vast majority of people, not Mormon. Vast majority of people, not white. Vast majority of the people were tattooed like me. And it was great and it was cool. But also, it was overwhelming because there were so many people and so many choices of food. I mean, I do bad in a fucking Walmart. Oh, I was there for about 45 minutes. And by the time I actually got the stuff I wanted to and got out, I'd spent like $15 and I had to go home and lay down for a couple hours.
Ah, Jones. I know you probably can't imagine that I can relate, but I can. Going shopping kills me. I hate it.
I hate it. I was so happy just a few months after COVID hit.
Right.
All the stores started introducing online grocery ordering and pickup. I was like, fuck, I don't have to interact with one person. It's great. It's wonderful.
I think I need to get on that. I haven't done the deliveries yet, but I should. My mom gets it.
Yeah, we used to do the delivery from Walmart, and that costs money.
Yeah.
And the Walmart's only like 3 miles from my house, so I can fucking drive that. But yeah, during COVID, it was so fucking convenient. They just put it on your doorstep, and they sent you a little text message or whatever. You open your door, there's your fucking groceries. You put groceries away. It was great. I loved it.
But now you're having to exercise.
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever heard the spoon analogy?
No, tell me.
My daughter really likes this one. You start the day with a set amount of spoons. I don't know why it's spoons, but it is spoons because fuck you, that's why. And some people have more spoons to deal with stuff than others. Everything takes a spoon. There are some days where you just fucking run out of spoons.
Every day, Jones.
Yeah, there are some people who can make their own spoons and can just deal with most everything.
I know.
There are people that got like four spoons total to deal with any shit. And so if four things happen, fuck you, I'm done, I'm out. I'll talk to you later.
How do those people that make spoons do it? I look at them and I go, what's wrong with me? I get home from the most minuscule thing and I'm just done for the day. I just stare at my computer and try to regain my composure or just go to sleep. What the hell?
I have no idea. My wife can deal with things a lot better.
Yeah.
She's my emotional support human.
Oh, that's lovely.
She helps me navigate.
Clearly.
I told her that for her birthday, I'm going to get her a little vest that she can put on when she's having to drag my ass around the store.
Just don't start patting her in public. That wouldn't be good.
Right, yeah. Working wife, do not pet.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's pretty cute. And that's why you miss her so much when she's gone too, because she helps you deal with things, right?
She does. And also, I just like things being of routine. I don't like things being different than what they normally are. I've gotten better at it. I still don't like it, but it used to be if my wife was out of town, I was not sleeping. Now, I think I averaged about 5 hours of sleep per night. So that's actually pretty good for when my wife's gone. So
I'm glad you're getting some sleep. It sounds like it's not an awful lot, though. Did you see the presidential debate? You probably don't want to talk about it.
I avoided it. I knew it was happening. I read a synopsis of it.
Yeah.
And it was like, here's a fact check of everything that the candidate said. Biden exaggerated on this. Biden exaggerated on this. Trump lied on this.
Yeah.
And both of them sounded like old men.
Right.
I try to explain that to my kids. You know, they're like, they're both horrible. I'm like, okay, one is negative one and versus a negative 6,000. The amount that Trump is worse than Biden, there's no comparison.
You got to pick your battles.
Exactly. Plus, we elect Biden and he retires or dies, Kamala Harris will be the president. I am much more comfortable supporting Kamala Harris than I am with Biden.
Yeah, she's quite young too, isn't she?
Yes and no. She's older than both you and I, but she's still young.
I guess black don't crack.
Yeah, something like that.
So they're going to do round two and round three, maybe?
I don't know.
What the hell? He's only the presumptive nominee.
It would be unprecedented for a sitting president to not be. But there's nobody even in the wings. And then Robert Kennedy Jr.
Brainworm Jr.
Brainworm Jr.
Poor fella.
He was pissed off that he wasn't included. So he was on some service, like answering the same questions.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yep. I didn't hear anything about it, but I'm sure it was entertaining. Yeah. I played Fallout 4 as opposed to watching debates because fuck you.
Good on you. What are you doing in Fallout 4 these days?
Settlement building and killing absolutely everything I see.
It's a good antidote to the election, right?
Yeah.
What are the new missions or new stuff that they've added to it?
Well, they brought in the Enclave.
Okay.
They're not like huge new missions. It's not like, you know, Far Harbor or something like that.
Oh, wasn't Far Harbor good?
I did enjoy it.
That was such a great add-on. You know what? It's peaceful. You get out there and start building stuff and all of that mist and water, and it's just fucking relaxing.
I did like Far Harbor.
Yeah, it was just beautiful. So, Saints 23.
Yep.
Basically covers the aftermath of
the Mormon War.
The Mormon War. Let's start with this first one. I've called it Donovan Stops a Massacre.
General Lucas, who's in command of the Missouri militia, his men have come into town and they've rounded up all of the Mormon men in the town square. They put on sort of a show trial and they don't have authority to try a civilian. It's not like there are lawyers and witnesses. In fact, the only lawyer present is Alexander Donovan. And he's opposing this sham of a trial. Lucas pays no attention to him and condemns all these Mormon men to be executed. Alexander Donovan, he's not a Latter-day Saint, but he's a person of principle. He refuses to carry out the order of the execution, pulls his men out of Far West, and General Lucas sort of loses his nerve and doesn't execute all these men and instead takes them off to Jackson County.
what's her name said, gathered up all the Mormon men. It wasn't all the Mormon men. It was 60 Mormon men out of the 800 that were there in town. But anyways, when they say they didn't have authority, if you want to get technical, they had orders from the governor to execute the Mormons. So they did have authority.
Right.
I'm not a lawyer, and I'm certainly not a lawyer from 1838. But yeah, Donovan was one of the brigadier generals, and I believe that put him under Lucas, but he said, no, I'm not going to do this because it would just be straight up murder.
Yeah.
But that was enough to make Lucas back off. In reading through what Lucas and some of the other generals said, I think that they may have been more emotionally verklempt about all of this. Like, they may have had a personal beef with the Mormons more than Donovan.
Yeah. He seemed to be able to say a bit more objective.
Also, if you executed their leaders right then and there, I mean, you've got Danites that probably would have made a bad situation much worse.
Yeah.
He probably made the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
In reading through the Wikipedia article, it said that Donovan, while he was more sympathetic toward the Mormons, he also agreed that a military response was the only way to actually end this without it turning into a full-blown civil war. So he didn't disagree with the mission. He disagreed with the execution specifically.
The execution of executing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love that you did some extra research.
The book, it's called The Mormon War of 1938. It's fairly well respected. It's cited a lot in different papers, both Mormon and non-Mormon. So it seems to at least be a respected source.
Yeah, and didn't mention this particular event at all. We did see corroboration on Wikipedia, but it was just from one source. So it makes me wonder, did saints just use the same source? Which is interesting.
Yes and no.
It also adds some extra context to what happened to Joseph's Adam on...
Diamond.
That's it. Always just such a tongue twister. I've got a quote from Brigadier General Robert Wilson as he's going through Adam on Diamond after all the saints have left and how he describes it.
It would astonish you to see the immense piles of stolen property which has been brought in and deposited by the Mormons, consisting of almost everything to be found at a farmhouse, and much remaining yet concealed. Large quantities have been found buried in and near town. I have been making all possible exertions to collect and preserve this property for the owners. But I find it hard to do, as these dirty thieves are more skillful in the pilfering line than any I have yet seen. The citizens inform me that much of their property has been taken to Far West. I suggest that you order them to return it here at their own expense. I write in a miserable shanty called the Lord's Storehouse, late at night, after having been well soaked in the rain during the day and much fatigued. I may have omitted some things, but when I am more comfortable, I will write you more fully. I have the honor to be, with unfeigned goodwill, your obedient servant, R. Wilson, Brigadier General, Commanding 2nd Brigade, Missouri Militia.
The next one I've titled, Boo-Hoo.
Yep.
We talk a lot about religious freedom. It's really strongly embedded in the history of the church because they were being hunted, they were being killed for their beliefs, and it helps you understand the church's strong commitment to religious freedom, the way that an actual governmental entity targeted the Latter-day Saints and not just sanctioned, but sponsored their murder and driving them from the state.
What a take. And if it wasn't for the government, so many more of them would have died.
Yeah.
And religious freedom to them just means we can't do this thing that this prophet says. So that's impinging on religious freedom. Bullshit. Don't forget, religious freedom has to coexist with other people's freedom as well.
And it's not like Mormons really believe in coexistence.
No.
Mormons believe in making everybody Mormon.
That's right.
Like, did you see just recently, fucking Louisiana, the governor said, sign into law that the Ten Commandments had to be displayed in every single classroom.
Mm-hmm.
That's not religious freedom.
And then also said there's not going to be any taxpayers' money to do it. How can you make a decree that it has to happen, but then say that there's no money going towards it? It just doesn't make any sense at all.
They give conservatives something to shit their pants over. Let it stop being displayed.
I just hope that some of these kids actually read it instead of just revering it, because you can't cover anything in 10 rules, especially when you chew up the first three with stuff that's got nothing to do with daily life.
What, there's three of them about God being a jealous little bitch?
Pretty much, yeah.
And then the rest just boil down to don't be a dick.
Uh-huh.
Don't covet your neighbor's wife or his sheep. It doesn't tell him what you're coveting to do with his sheep or his wife. Don't do it, either one.
Religion has such erroneous ideas about religious freedom. They just can't see it. That means that they've got to take a back seat sometimes too.
Yep.
The next one I've titled, oh, Polly, such a low bar.
Guards outside the door are bragging and talking about raping and killing Latter-day Saints. Joseph Smith couldn't abide sitting in the same room listening to that.
Silence, ye fiends of the infernal pit, the prophet thundered. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you and command you to be still. I will not live another minute and hear such language. Cease such talk, he commanded, or you or I die this instant.
And they did stop. They didn't care what Joseph Smith thought. Do you know what I mean? And so there was so much power that they stopped.
You have to think that deep inside them, there was something that said, this is just not right.
Having someone call out their indecency and their cruelty so strongly and boldly, I think it startled them.
Parley P. Pratt, he was in the cell with the prophet, and this is what he said of this moment. I have seen the ministers of justice clothed in magisterial robes. While life was suspended on a breath in the courts of England, I have witnessed a Congress in solemn session to give laws to nations. I have tried to conceive of kings, of royal courts, of thrones and crowns, and of emperors assembled to decide the fate of kingdoms. But dignity and majesty have I seen but once, as it stood in chains at midnight in a dungeon in an obscure village of Missouri.
There is one source for that story, which I heard hundreds of times growing up as a Mormon kid. That's from Parley P. Pratt.
I like to call him Parsley.
Right. And pretty sure that wasn't published until a few decades later. There were six or eight men in that cell, plus the militia members on the outside. And Parley P. Pratt is the only one that had that story. So, okay.
Yeah. Great story, guys. Oh,
I'm sure you can find somebody that would tell a story about how fine and upstanding David Koresh was and how he stood in glory and power before the tanks of the ATF came and bashed down the door. Well, actually, you can't because they're all dead.
All right, yeah.
But, you know, it's just a testimonial with no collaborating evidence whatsoever, so I'm not particularly inclined to believe it.
No.
It's a faith-affirming story.
It's not even faith-affirming, though. Anyone could have said that.
I have personally seen my dad do shit like that.
Mm.
My dad is about 5'5", 150 pounds soaking wet if he's lucky. He's always been a little guy, but he has a very fierce demeanor, and I have seen him stare down multiple people twice his size and seen them back down.
Okay.
I've also seen him try to do that to some punks that didn't give a fuck and were about to beat his ass, and I had to step in and go, okay, guys, fuck off.
Wow.
Leave the old crazy man alone.
That doesn't always work, eh?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, dear.
Oh, hell, it was about 10 years ago. Him and I were going to the priesthood session at the conference center that they used to have that was just for the dudes.
They stopped doing that, huh?
Yeah, they stopped doing that. There were elements of the church saying, why don't women have that special session? Then finally, they gave it a special session. And about 2 years later, they'd alternate between every 6 months. It would be the priesthood session and then the women's session. And then the higher up said, oh, we don't like that. And they just canceled it. The women were getting too much airtime, I guess.
Oh, we couldn't have that.
But anyway, so Dad and I were walking by the public transit train that runs down Salt Lake. And there were some punk ass kids. And they were saying, fuck, fuck, shit, fuck, damn, shit, fuck, you know, all my favorite words.
Yeah.
And my dad, he was getting more and more agitated. Finally, he told them on no uncertain terms that they shouldn't be talking like that. And they started walking towards us. What do you say, old man? And I remember putting my hand on my dad's shoulder and just feeling how old and skinny he was. And I went, yeah, I think he didn't like you saying the word fuck. So maybe say fuck a little less, please. And they're like, well, you can't tell us what to do. I was like, well, you can try and be polite. That might help. And they're like, rah, rah, and they walked off.
Yeah. Well done on defusing it, Jones.
Well, there were more of them. I was not in the mood to get a fist fight with my old man dad.
No.
Because he's crazy.
Yes.
Anyways, could Joseph Smith have stared down a bunch of fucking militia guys while he was standing in chains? Possibly. Could it have been something completely made up by Parley P. Pratt? Possible. It's just, it's dumb. It's a silly story. And it doesn't indicate some huge celestial power or presence.
No.
Sometimes the apes are more intimidated by a louder ape. And it's not necessarily obvious why. It could be because they're louder. It could be because the way they deliver their words or grunts or chest pounds or whatever. It's not a miracle. It's just humans reacting to humans.
He's obviously maxed out all of his points in charisma in Fallout 4.
I guess so, because he's fucking a lot of people.
I reckon Parsley would have fucked him if he could have bent his brain around to it. He wanted to fuck him.
It's possible. Do remember that in the Kirtland Temple, they were bathing nude in fireball cinnamon whiskey. Ooh. As part of a cleansing ceremony, if I remember correctly.
Fireball cinnamon whiskey. Wow.
So Parley P. Pratt had probably seen what Joseph was working with at that point.
Well, there you go. Very interesting. I haven't heard that one before. I always learn something on these episodes, Jones. It's not always the thing that you want to know about. All right, so this next one I've titled, Oh, Phoebe, You Idiot.
Phoebe Woodruff gets really sick. She says that she felt her spirit leave her body, an out-of-body experience. And she sees Wilford look at her body, and she sees two angels come into the room, and the angels offer her a choice. She can move on to the spirit world, or she can stay with her family. She emphatically decides to stay. At that moment, Wilford Woodruff anoints her head with oil and gives her a blessing, and she begins to breathe again. And she records that as she opens her eyes, she sees the angels leave the room.
Yeah, I just had to put that wrong response in there.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I've already listened to this fucking clip, so I knew that was happening, but...
Did I make you hit the ceiling, James?
Not quite, just twitched.
Yeah, it made me twitch too. Yeah, she got really sick. Yeah, she hallucinated an out-of-body experience. This happens all the time.
It does happen all the time.
Why is this in a history book?
Because this is not history.
No.
They are trying to frame it as a history book. The true raw history of the saints, but it's not. It is a faith-affirming testimonial wearing the historical mask.
That's right.
This is just another testimonial. Just like what they're going to say about fucking Alma Smith here. It's testimonials that have nothing to back them up.
Another testimony of horseshit.
And I don't know if you saw this thread on Reddit about Brigham Young and his granddaughter.
No, tell me more.
Brigham Young was hardcore against physicians, did not trust physicians, railed against them all the time. He had a granddaughter that had swallowed some poison.
Oh.
So the physicians in there attending the child, Brigham comes in, basically throws the physician out, saying he would care for the child himself.
Oh.
And his care, as usual, consisted of laying on of hands.
Oh.
The agonized parents dared not interfere. And in a few moments, their child died before their very eyes in the most terrible agony and distress, an innocent victim of the prophet's ego and bigotry.
Mm-hmm. They were probably going to try and induce vomiting or something.
Yes.
Would have been better than nothing.
Epicat.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Oh. If the laying on of hands and the blessing actually worked, those motherfuckers up in Salt Lake City would be going into the hospital and healing everybody, trumpeting about it from here to China. It doesn't happen because it doesn't work.
You just get oily hair.
Right. And also, as you point out, people have out-of-body experiences all the time as their body is starting to shut down and your brain is being starved of oxygen. I have been on drugs before and I've seen some crazy shit where I feel like I'm disassociated from my body. Was I? No, I was laying on a bed twitching and ferrets were coming to attack me. It's not real. And going back to what we just said about the last clip, she got ill, she got better. That's nice. Happens to people all the time. There is rhyme or reason, but it goes way beyond somebody slapping their oily fucking hands on your head.
Right. She got a choice from angels as to whether she wanted to go back or not. If you're in heaven, why would you go back to this? What the hell?
Especially when Joseph Smith described the lowest kingdom of heaven, is that if anybody were to see the glory of heaven and know what it was like, they would kill themselves to get there. So if she has a choice to go into heaven, which is so great, why is she staying here?
Right. It's just bonkers. Just take the win. It's okay. You get a chariot trip to heaven. They didn't need you.
There you go.
Get me the fuck out of this place. Anyway, next one. They're trying to set up Brigham as this amazing person now who's stepping in, and he does fuck all, and they think it's fantastic.
They're trying to frame him as the next great prophet who is going to lead the saints to one of the promised lands, not the other promised land, and not that other one, the new.
There's been so many Zions. Why are people still following them around to Zion? I don't get it.
I don't know. The only Zion that I thought looked cool was the one in the Matrix where they had that orgy. You know, that looked kind of cool. The rest of it was like, fuck yeah, that doesn't sound like it. Fun.
I don't play this thing.
The saints left in Far West are evacuating. Those with means were able to get out fairly quickly to make their way to Quincy, Illinois. Others who maybe are less fortunate, what are they to do? Who's going to help these people?
Brigham urged the saints in Far West to covenant to help each other evacuate the state. "We will never desert the poor," he told them, "till they shall be out of the reach of the exterminating order." He and the other leaders in Far West appointed a committee of 7 men to direct the evacuation.
Aren't you just sick of hearing everything being solved by some fucking stupid committee? Instead of actually doing something, he's like, okay, no, I'm not going to do something right now. I'm going to go and get 7 men.
You guys could do something. Well, I mean, the delegation of responsibility, that's how leaders do stuff. You can't do it all yourself.
True.
But also, Brigham saying, we'll never abandon the poor. Well, tell that to all the homeless people up in Salt Lake.
Right.
The Mormon Church abandons the poor all the fucking time. So...
why does Brigham suddenly appear?
Because they have to set him up as the next fucking chosen one.
All right. This is the last one, and I've titled this, but Jenny said it took a long time. Jenny was the historian they had on last time. I quite liked Jenny. She would have the odd take that would be a little bit balanced, but this one just seems to be focusing on all of the airy fairy.
Pretty much.
Anyway, I'll play it.
So Amanda Byrne Smith and her family were at Hunts Mill, and her son Alma was shot in the hip, and it's not healing. They can't stay in Missouri anymore. She goes out and sort of hides herself and prays, and has come to her mind lines from a hymn that she loved, and it's, "The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not, I cannot desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake." She finishes her prayer. She's going to fetch some water, and she hears a big commotion. Her kids start screaming.
Terrified, she rushed to the door and saw Alma running around the room. "I'm well, Ma, I'm well," he cried.
I don't know what happened there. Like, Jenny said it took a long time for him to get better, but here...
he's a miraculous heal.
He's running around. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Either he didn't have his hip blown out in the first place, it was just a bad wound. I don't get it. There's something not adding up.
I did some research and I sent it to you. I found out where he's buried at.
Yeah.
They need to exhume him.
Yes.
Is he missing his hip?
You know what? They could probably do some sort of x-ray thing without exhuming him, maybe.
Oh, yeah, ground penetrating radar.
Oh, wouldn't that be cool? If it's in like a public cemetery and you had the equipment, you could just like rock up and just like scan some shit. What a great idea.
And so I just think it would be amusing if the church, live television, there's 2 hips. Oh, shit. Oh, this is the wrong grave. Obviously, I have. Yeah.
Well, God grew it back. That's why there's 2 hips.
No, it didn't work that way.
Yeah, I know.
I was reading about the wound, supposedly, and they said the hip was completely blown away and the bones were 4 inches away from each other. And
it looked like chicken meat.
Yeah, exactly.
Horrifying, really.
It is disgusting. It could have just been a bad wound with a broken bone or chips of bone. This untrained mother, who was not a medical person, just went, oh, his hip's gone. You know, or the human body, very pliable, especially the young age, and it can learn to accommodate stuff. But was there a miraculous healing that didn't heal, suddenly healed? But also, it took a long time for him to heal, make up your fucking mind. No. Again, there's no corroborating evidence for this to actually have happened. We just have a couple of testimonials.
All right.
We have descriptions of Alma Lamoni Smith, because fuck you, one Book of Mormon name is not enough. You need to have two testimonials of people saying, oh, he was never crippled a day in his life, and he did all this stuff, and oh, isn't this miraculous?
Right.
I tend to think that the combination of it wasn't as bad as it looked, and also he adapted.
Yeah. Also, if God can do that, do it again. Do it again, God. Come on, God.
I remember reading somewhere that isn't it amazing that the age of miracles stopped when cameras were invented?
Right. So true. Well, that's it. We've done episode 23. There's not too many more left before we hit the end of part one of this horse shit, I think.
I think it ends with the murder of Joseph Smith, if I remember correctly, but...
Ended on a high note, then.
I don't know.
No, murder's never good.
No, he didn't deserve to be shot and killed by a mob. Was he a prophet? No.
No.
Was he a charlatan? Yes.
Yes.
But killing charlatans makes them into martyrs and starts a fucking Rocky Mountain sex cult.
It sure does. And now we're left with what we've got today. Fuck you, Joseph Smith. Fuck you, Brigham.
Fuck you, Joseph.
Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Fuck the entire Enterprise. But not the NCC 1701 Enterprise. I'm down with that one.
I'm down with that one, too. I remember growing up and watching those stories. I was such a nerd with all of the Trek stuff, and it was my way of imagining a better future.
Yeah.
You'd go to church and hear all of this bullshit, and then I'd see these things about science.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was science fiction, they did pretty well to link some of these things into real things that they were discovering and evolution, and it's just like, but what if the future could be like this? And then I'd get told at church, oh, but Jesus is going to come back and make everything better. Well, hang on, that's not compatible with this. I mean, maybe we just don't understand it. I don't know. It's such a conflict.
It was broadcast on Sundays in our market. So every Sunday we'd go to church, and then Sunday evening we'd sit down as a family to watch Star Trek The Next Generation.
That's amazing.
Even back then, I was a young, unlabeled anti-theist, atheist, just like not identifying with this stuff. Do you remember that episode where there was this planet where supposedly the embodiment of evil had come down and said, I will grant you peace, but in 1,000 years, I'm going to come and take the planet. The Enterprise comes there, and then somebody comes down and says, I'm the great Moggy Woggy Evil, and this planet is mine, and you signed a legal document. And the Enterprise exposed this person as a charlatan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, look, it's fate.
I'm sure that at the time, it would have made me think about, well, maybe that's what happened with Jesus. But you're not allowed to think too far down those tracks without being blasphemous. And I'm sure that there would have been an internal struggle. I'd see these ideas that contradict, and then I'd want to think about it, but it's like, I can't even think about it. Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I'm so glad I'm out of that.
Yeah, me too.
Goodbye, cognitive dissonance.
Mm-hmm.
It's been wonderful talking to you, Jones. Thanks for spending the time to do this, and thanks for your research. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
Take it easy. Bye.
I guess this is my new normal.